Robin Grissel are back at him performing again.
Really?
I can't believe it. It is the world.
How expensive is it to take an iron lung on the road these days?
Well, it's not that expensive, obviously. Yeah. And the thing is that just about everything is now becoming the Heritage Band. I mean, if you potted a plant 30 years ago, well, you can do it now on stage and tour it around the country.
What is their post-heritage, though, Joe Katz? After you've done the heritage thing, is there anything left apart from Alcor Laboratories in California?
I don't think so. They're here in Sydney. You could go locally now.
I'd like to see a Frozen Head come out, wouldn't you, and just tour around. I think people would pay money, wouldn't they?
Oh, for sure.
Would you pay money to go and see a Frozen Head, Miss Death, if it was like, you know, one of your favourite performers?
Yeah.
Sorry?
I mean, if one of your favourite performers died, Miss Death, you were working there on the rig.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I wasn't
listening. Would you pay to actually, you know, have the Heritage Head tour? Mm. They had their Frozen Head and they toured that
with
around.
With a backing tape, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Well, you'd have to have the music there, but the head. It depends how favourite they were.
Well, they could only bring it out for about half an hour at a time before
it's thawed
out. Of
course, otherwise
it's thawed
out. Yeah.
I think it's something for the Royal Easter Show. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, God, that was a beautiful track.
So who are we talking about then? Bringing out who?
Oh, well, anyone who's
talking
dead,
about
you know,
heritage bands.
Oh, dead people.
Yeah.
Because after heritage, what is there?
Well, that's right. Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Mm. Maybe you shouldn't
heritage
be allowed to
heritage.
Heritage
is actually so close to the cliff of death.
It is.
It's just about there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And seeing, they were just talking about Genesis Peorage appearing in the Joy Division documentary, which I'm excited to actually go and have a peek at the beautiful Chevelle. And Genesis Peorage is one of the people on camera, but it's Jeannie Peorage, I believe,
these days.
That's
right. He's changed. Oh, yeah, there you go. He's gone from Genesis to Jeannie, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's wearing mini skirts, which is a shocker at his age.
And he's how old is he?
He's late 50s.
Now. Mini skirts and pensioners. Mm. Yeah.
And performance art. My God, what
not
have you got?
Not such a good look.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what a week in news and some despicable moments, Coffinhead. What's the first one you've got there?
Heartbreaking footage of a wired and twitchy Heath Ledger admitting he smoked 5 joints a day while partying in a drug-filled Hollywood hotel room emerged yesterday.
Isn't that despicable? Mm. Despicable for many reasons, because of the moralising of local Sydney free-to-air TV stations, and all of a sudden, bazooka, they went beyond Entertainment This Week, who wasn't going to screen it because of pressure put on them, basically.
But they
did
screen.
But no,
they screened the first one.
Did, Miss Death.
Oh, yeah, no, they screened it.
Or in A Current Affair.
E.T.
Screened glimpses of it and then cut the major story.
Yeah.
They didn't screen all the video like
Still,
A Current
they,
Affair
they screened
did here.
Enough. They
well,
screened
listen,
enough.
Obviously, somebody's been sitting on this footage for a long time.
Oh, waiting.
I'd like
to see disclosure the same way that political donations these days have to be disclosed. Mm. Every time they run some of this kind of supposed footage, there should be a strip across the bottom saying Channel 9 paid X number of dollars
and to who?
For this piece of
crap. And from who they
and
brought it
who?
From and their address.
Yes. And their
Absolutely.
Email address. And
I think it's a despicable act, actually, that you've actually been in that motel that footage was taken.
Well, Chateau Marmont's a very famous hotel.
Oh, really? How in the hell did you afford to stay there?
Well, he didn't. We snuck in.
We stayed 4 in a room.
Oh, really? Yeah. And it was the pantry.
For one night.
Yeah.
But it's the famous sort of hotel where there have been a lot of deaths. I think John Belushi.
Yes, John Belushi.
Died there.
Popped
it's
off
a
there.
Great, beautiful old hotel up in Hollywood, just off Hollywood Boulevard. And well worth a visit if you're ever going to. It's on the Graveline. What is the Graveline tour?
Oh, really? Yeah. My God, you're setting yourself up for strife to begin with the moment you rent a room there. But look, the extraordinary thing is Heath's revelations there about having 5 joints a day for 20 years. And he must have been...
well, that was two years ago. So he's 28 now.
He started when he was six.
That doesn't make any sense,
I mean,
does it?
I think Heath basically was too honest an individual and just poured it all out to the first person that offered him a spliff, and it was all over, basically. But isn't it despicable to think in this world of modern technology that everyone is there to, be surveilled, to be filmed covertly?
No, that's not the problem. The problem is that...
What is the problem, Miss
Steph? There's been this huge outpouring.
You just ran over the top of me again.
Well, I always do that.
Yeah.
But there's been this huge outpouring of grief by you know, all the TV stations, everyone in the papers, Heath this, Heath that. What a great thespian.
Can I just interject there?
And now, how quick, as soon as there was a bit of dirt, they were the first to pick it up and start flinging it at him.
That's right.
Which is awful.
That's the sadness.
Mm. Now, here's the absurdity of this huge pouring out of grief, though. Mm. I was speaking to a producer of a said movie show that still goes to air on one of the free-to-air stations, and they said to me that they have received so many emails, and the emails are like giving their condolences, and every time an email appears, they look at it perplexed, going,
"Why are they
we're
sending
not his
it to
family.
Us? No.
We're not his kin."
We interviewed him maybe once, and maybe we
and
reviewed
also,
a couple of his films.
You know, how many thousand children die in the third world, in our world,
every day? No, how many people die? You know, he's too young to die. That was the headline, too young to die. What about anybody that died that day? And I'm sure there were heaps of people that died that day that were younger than him.
Yeah. But I think the saddest thing is, you know, let's blame it on something. Well, obviously, if Heath had five joints a day for two decades, he was doing really well on marijuana. Not that I'm advocating the use of it, but God, he was doing successful stuff on it. And people should reconsider their plan of action when they're tackling Hollywood.
Mm. Obviously.
Yeah.
Look, we might have a track and then come back and do University of the Air or Trash or Treasure, Miss Death.
University of the Air and Trash and Treasure are sort of like mixed into
the... They've morphed today.
They're morphed today into one, yeah.
But look, I like to revive one of the very popular segments on The Naked City of some years ago. Myths, Death's reggae favourites.
That's right. Okay, we're going to start it today, are we?
We are with a...
I'll have to go back and find my disc that Martin Doyle made for me.
The beautiful, handsome, extraordinary Martin Doyle.
Yeah, look,
cousin of the beautifully handsome, extraordinary Sam.
Sam. Mm.
This is a track that Martin would enjoy. It's The Lions. They're a group out of the west coast of America, I do believe.
Look, you know, just stepping back quickly to the Heath Ledger business, and I don't want to go on too long about that, but the point of fact is, you know, let sleeping dogs lie, people. I mean, throwing dirt over someone after they've passed away is absolutely pathetic.
And you know what? So what if he's, you know...
Does it really matter?
Everybody in Hollywood goes to those parties. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Isn't it when you reach that status that's what you can do and what you're supposed to do? Go to these parties and just, like, dive into a huge tub of cocaine?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, and so why are we so shocked and surprised?
People are hypocrites. I really don't think it's anyone's business either.
No,
I think
of course
we should
just
leave it alone and just move forward. Anyway.
I knew there was a reason why I don't watch those current affairs programs. They're
exploitation in the worst degree.
But they're not even... I've got no problem with exploitation, but these people are just disgraceful.
Yeah, well, they pose as something else when they're so tabloid.
Moral outrage, that's what it is. Mm. Moral outrage.
Now, time for a bit of education now on the Naked
City. Don't be stupid.
Mm. Do you reckon there should be? Yeah. All right, then, fair enough.
Listening to me. Yeah, just wake up to yourself there, Coffin.
World's gone mad.
Particularly mad this week.
Oh. Extremely mad, Miss Death. It's getting worse.
It is.
It's turning into a psychotic planet.
I think it's always been a bit of a psychotic planet, but it seems to be revving up a little bit, don't you, Coffin?
Yeah.
Indeed.
2012, that's where 23 comes in. December 23rd.
Body Parts, Inc. Philadelphia. A nurse admitted Wednesday he cut body parts from 244 corpses and helped forge paperwork so the parts, some of them diseased, could be used in unsuspecting patients. Authorities say Nurse Lee Crusetta was the lead cutter in a group that trafficked in more than 1,000 stolen body parts for the lucrative transplant market. Now, there was an episode on one of those CSI programs. Was it Law and Order? I think it was, yes, because they took
about
it to trial.
About lead cutters.
About, you know, stealing body parts from corpses that were dead. Mm. Of course, you don't have a live
corpse.
It's
a bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah,
there.
It is a bit of an oxymoron. Mm. But from corpses that were diseased and transplanting them into live patients.
It's a bit like, if you've got a garden and somebody comes around with a pair of secateurs.
Yes, my mum does that.
And just take, I'll have a snip of that.
My mum does that.
And, you know, like a body comes in and, yes, we'll have that, go. We'll have that, you can have that, I'll have that.
And it's all gone. Nothing left for anyone. Human zoo. For years, the prospect of visiting one of the three long-necked Kayan villages in the remote corner of northeastern western Thailand, close to the Burmese border, has been a major lure for foreign tourists. But in a dramatic intervention, the United Nations is now talking of the need for a tourism boycott amid allegations that the Kayan are being trapped in a human zoo. The United Nations Refugee Agency says that for the past 2 years, the Thai authorities have refused to allow the group of 20 Kayan to leave the country despite firm offers to resettle them in Finland and New Zealand. The suspicion is that the women are being kept in Thailand because of the central role they play in the local tourism industry. We don't understand why these 20 are not allowed to start new lives, said the UNHCR's regional spokeswoman, Kitty McKinsey. It's absolutely a human zoo, she said. One solution is for tourists to stop going. Now, all the other refugees that were there have been allowed to leave and they've been resettled, except these 20, this group of 20, because there's three other women in that village have got those long giraffe necks.
Yep.
And people go there and photograph them.
Oh, that's just disgraceful.
So they're saying that people need to boycott.
Ethnographic horror of the start of the 20th century,
that's
really.
That's right. Mm. It doesn't stop. We're still in this day and age, people trapped like that. But anyway, it's called business.
I love the little bit of Germanic jazz. That's Martin Botcher underneath you. That was there for many of those Edgar Wallace.
Yes, it is.
Extraordinary. It's a bit of Cremonese music.
And that's thanks to Martin Doyle.
Yeah, there's something about
made that
Martin
up for
Doyle,
me. Yes,
isn't
he
there?
Is. Yes, he's got very, very good musical taste.
Eclectic.
Very eclectic. We are all sex offenders.
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, this is what's going to happen. Kingston. Well,
maybe occasionally with you, Miss Death.
Hey, starting next year, urinating in public could land you on the sex offender registry. This year, that isn't a problem. But starting next year, when New Hampshire complies with a new federal law, anyone convicted of two indecent exposure charges within 3 years will have to register as a sex offender.
Wow.
I know there are many homeless people in New Hampshire. Shurtleff said, there are other older people with medical conditions and also young people who may have had too much to drink in the bar. While there should be a law against public urination, he said, the penalty should fit the crime. So he's saying that sometimes people, you know, are caught on the hop.
Mm.
And they need to go for all sorts of varying reasons, you know, weak bladders and incontinence and blah, blah, blah. But if you get caught twice in 3 years urinating, you're on the sex offenders list.
Really?
Yes. So
that's bizarre, isn't it?
It's very bizarre. Mm. Things are tightening up, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're just, you know, cameras everywhere. I was watching a program the other day, a kids program, and there was one of the islands. You know, is it the Hayman Islands? What are those islands up there in Queensland? A whole bunch of them.
Oh, yes, Daydream Island.
All those islands. Mm. One of them, they've planted cameras all over the island, and they say just to check and see how many tourists a day come there. So you're on a deserted island because these islands are basically deserted. There's nothing there, but you're being monitored.
Watched.
Yeah.
And you watch, they'll stop all the boats going in there and they'll turn it into a living Truman Show. It'll be the next Big Brother.
Yeah.
Do you reckon? Okay. Pimped by NYPD. New York. A 13-year-old runaway returned home with a horrific account of being forced into prostitution by the kind of person who should have instead come to her aid, a city detective.
Yeah.
The teenager thought she was being offered a job dancing at parties, according to prosecutors. She soon found herself a captive of Wayne Taylor and a woman who forced the teen to prostitute herself at parties, with the detective threatening to make her sell herself on the streets if she tried to escape, prosecutors said. So there you go. Wasn't there that little golden book about policemen?
Hmm.
That you could that taught children. You remember those golden books, Coffin? Mm-hmm. They've disappeared, haven't they?
I think Citizen Shane was reading one last night.
That's
actually.
That's right. That's where we saw it.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, it was espousing the virtues of the police and how they knew where all the streets were. And if you were a little kid and you were lost or you'd run away from home, you could always go to the police and they would take you home safely. Well,
I know why
there's
they took them
myth.
Off the market.
Why
Remember
is that?
They had those hard covers to them, those very hard covers. They found that parents were using them to
whack their kids
whack
with them.
Their kids.
Right,
yeah.
Okay,
I'm
enough.
Just wondering if
they make a soft cover.
The incident that occurred in Centennial Park was because of that little golden book yesterday.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Driver drops lawsuit against dead boy's family. Here we go. This probably encapsulates what we've turned into, the kind of society we are. A Spanish businessman withdrew a controversial lawsuit Wednesday against the family of a teenage boy he struck and killed while driving a luxury car. Thomas Delgado had filed a suit asking the dead boy's parents to pay him €20,000 on the grounds that the collision that killed their teenage son also damaged his Audi A8. Are you people incensed or not?
Oh, well, you know what materialism has reached that point. No.
That guy should be taken out and just shot between the eyes. No, truly. He's a piece of trash. That's gone beyond humanity. Suing the family of the dead kid because he wrecked his car. Pop machine. Goes from bad to interesting. Los Angeles, the city that popularized the fast food drive-through, has a new innovation, 24-hour medical marijuana vending machines.
Ah, really?
Yes. Patients suffering from chronic pain, loss of appetite and other ailments that marijuana is said to alleviate can get their pot with a dose of convenience at the Herbal Nutrition Center, where a large machine will dole out the drug around the clock. Convenient access, lower prices, safety, anonymity. Inventor and owner Vincent Mendeza said, extolling the benefits of the machine. However, federal drug agents say the invention may need unplugging. Somebody owns it. It's in a it's on a property and somebody fills it, said DEA Special Agent Jose Martinez. Once we find out where it is, where it's at, we'll look into it and see if they're violating laws. At least three dispensaries in the city, including two belonging to the inventor, have installed vending machines to distribute the drug to people who carry cards authorising marijuana use. So there you go.
Imagine if it was a talking machine, just what it'd be saying. But I can see ATM crimes dropping down in that state and other crimes occurring.
Interesting.
Okay, don't drop the soap. The son of Governor Kathleen Sebelius is peddling a board game titled Don't Drop the Soap, a prison-themed game that he created as part of a class project at the Rhode Island School of Design.
Oh. Gee, the art world's really on top of it.
Oh, I don't know. A couple more stories and we'll be done.
Yeah.
Disabled US spy satellite falling from orbit could hit Earth in late February.
Here we go,
March.
Skylab Here all over again.
The satellite, which no longer can be controlled, could contain hazardous materials and it is unknown where on the planet it might come down.
Apparently it's about the size of a small bus. So
okay. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because the information is classified as secret. Well, it won't be if it lands on your house. It was not clear how long ago the satellite lost power or under what circumstances.
Now, is it likely to break up before it hits Earth or come down?
Sometimes those things don't break up at all.
Well, I mean, what happened to
Skylab?
Just complete. Western
it's
Australia, wasn't it?
It's possible deniability for a missile strike, right?
You know. Yeah, there you go.
This is true.
You shouldn't have said that, actually, because now they'll be prepared
They'll be onto it.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the Mir space station? Now, that broke
up. Did it break up or is it still floating around up there?
No, it's gone.
Bits of junk have we created.
Bits and pieces of it did hit Earth.
At last count that I checked, it was like 7,600 and something bits of man-made space junk floating out in space.
That's outrageous.
We can't just pollute our planet. We have to go out further and start polluting the
They keep tabs
else.
Of every single bit, evidently.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you think they could capitalise on it and turn the whole thing into a big lottery? You could buy tickets.
To what?
And
to have it land on your
and
house?
The person who finds the biggest bit wins $20 million
and
or something.
And dies of radioactivity
it's
or
like
something.
It's like Powerball or Lotto or something like that if you find...
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like a Division 5 if you just get...
the supplement. That's the supplement.
Yeah.
I got Skylab as a supplement. Entry number.
One little bit of trash plus two other little bits of trash.
Yeah, that's there you go.
That's you get a Division 5 prize.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Oh, God. Dirty Parts, a Utah retailer of family-friendly tapes and DVDs, Hollywood films with the dirty parts cut out of them, has been arrested for trading sex with two 14-year-old girls.
Oh, there you
so
go.
So it's always the
what's
people
happening
that just,
behind the scenes.
Well, the ones
he
that
who
are,
doth protest.
That's right. The yep. ones that are protesting the loudest are usually the perverts.
So he was trading. What was he trading?
On Greg's list.
Trading sex.
Yes, and speaking of pandas, it's Chinese New Year, of course, and I do believe that Belmore Park's been turned into a massive Yum Cha Chinese restaurant today, Mr.
Is that right?
Today and tomorrow, and of course next week we're doing the
annual live
from Chinatown.
That's right.
We're going down to the...
Where are we going to go? Which restaurant this year?
Well, we might pick a new one this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We used to go to the, what was it, the golden...
The golden monkey, the golden baboon.
The golden baboon, which I don't think's anymore.
Around anymore?
It's gone. I think it became a tofu vegetarian restaurant.
Oh, yeah, well, we can't go to that. There's no point going to Yum Cha if you can't have some meat.
That's right.
Oh, I like the tofu. Come
on. Tofu's fantastic.
I'm just saying the golden baboon turned vegetarian and that was it. It just, you know, no one went there. So they have closed down, but we will find a new restaurant in Chinatown next week.
Absolutely, and we'll have Yum Cha. We'll do our annual Yum Cha Chinese New Year live.
Our outside broadcast.
That's right. Mm.
You're on FBI, and thank you to the Sydney Film School.
Yes, indeed. Now, look, FBI relies on the financial support of listeners to stay on air, as we all know.
That's all of you out there.
Only 2% of listeners are supporters.
Oh, yeah. Come on, people. That's you need to pick it up.
It's a bit like our donation basket there on Monday Night Cult Cinema. It's the same feeling, you know.
Yeah.
People get away with Blue Moon.
They come in, they use it, they love it, they enjoy
it,
but nobody...
They phone up requests from London. Is that man a subscriber? Alex, are you a subscriber? You know, we actually previewed an extraordinary film that's screening at the Open Air.
It's the opening night.
Yeah.
At the Open Air.
And it's about Roadside Australia.
That's right. It's called Big Dreamers.
And it's about the big gumboot in Tully.
That's right. That's right.
The big golden gumboot.
Northern Queensland.
Yes,
thank you for that. Yes. It was famous for its saucer nest, its flying saucer nest.
1966, yeah.
So, look, why not join up or renew during February? You can go to fbiradio.com or give the station a ring during business hours, 3322900. That's 3322900. And become a supporter and part of the family. And it'd be great to see that 2% become 3% at least, Jake.
Oh, look, 30%, 40%, 50%. Come on.
In a perfect world, 100% of the listeners being supporters. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I want 100% of you, Miss Death, and I can never
get
it.
You get 150% of me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Now, look, a little item in the
paper this week. No wonder you've got a treadmill.
Final curtain for the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, that's sad in a sense. Not that it's something I ever went to
or dressed up. I've never been a great fan of Rocky Horror, but look, for years and years,
it's a community event.
Have been dressing up.
Cross-dressing.
And they've had that late-night screening down there.
And dancing to the Time Warp.
Yep. Mm. And apparently... it wasn't going too well. Some nights are only getting two or three people.
Oh, that's a bit
sad. Other nights get 50 or 60. But it's finishing from February the 12th. It'll be your last chance.
Oh, you watch. Everybody will run out there and they'll all go, oh, why are you shutting it down?
That's
right. Like, well, where the hell have your people been?
But it's one of the... If you look upon it as a film, it's one of the few kind of cult films that...
I've never watched it.
The whole idea of having the late-night cult screening, which, you know, was really popular in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely.
And
80s.
Was...
I went to all those.
No, the cult, the midnight thing started in... The cult film started in 1970.
As portrayed in that very good documentary.
Yes, Midnight Movies.
Canadian.
And the book of the same title.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad to see that it's gone.
It is. But that's the world we live in.
It is indeed, Miss Death.
Everything's becoming commodified.
Well, people are isolating themselves.
I'm even thinking of pulling on a pair of fishnets and getting down there myself.
Yeah. There you go.
You'd look fantastic. Yes, you would. You've still got dancer's legs.
I have.
You should give them back.
Legs like a piano. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah. We've got a track here from Jay Katz.
Well, this track is dedicated to some beautiful men in this city. And, you know, there's few beautiful men out there, but from the bands Rickatetis, Mr. Bamboo, and, of course, Darth Vegas, his message.
Haven't seen any of them except for Dano. Yeah. Where are the rest of them?
Oh, no, we've seen Jules. I saw Jules.
Oh, you saw...
Oh, I love that actual sting. We've got some new little stings hanging in there, haven't we? That was Message Ups, of course. From their first released album in this country, not the first release album they ever did, Black Black Magic. And I can't pronounce the track because it's all in Russian.
Mm.
How about that? But what an extraordinary band. And my heart does go out to those other gentlemen in Sydney I dedicated it to.
Now, Jake, that's just an interesting thing I saw in this week's Metro, the Barry Maguire.
Barry Maguire.
For the Eve of
what
Destruction.
What a tune. What an incredible tune.
Yes, the... Anthem of the Apocalypse, we might say. Has that been covered by... Did you play a cover version of that on the...
It's been covered by several people. I don't think I did. I think I played the original Barry Maguire because that means the world to me, that track.
You'll have to dig it out, won't you?
But yeah.
Now, has he become born again?
Yes.
He became born again. I think the moment that track was a hit and he realised what he'd done, he did the double somersault backflip. Mm. We've actually got a Christian surf film from the early 70s with Barry Maguire in it, talking starring about his Christian surfing career. You know, when you the fish that they actually use in as a symbol of Christianity?
Yes.
He took that seriously, literally.
Yeah, it's a serious symbol.
Yeah.
So he's...
It is to my dad. He's a
fisherman. He's at the Sutherland Entertainment Centre on
Good
Sunday.
Lord, that's now, scraping the bottom of the barrel,
is it? Is this going to be like some kind of revival
Hillsong-ish
meeting? Do you think so? Can you imagine 1,000 people singing Eve of Destruction? Like
Waiting for Armageddon.
The thing that worries me there, when you actually look at the advertising here, there's a rose that is separating his two names there, and it might be the Rosicrucians that he's actually gone over to. And
are you really stretching
this could actually
there,
be Barry Maguire and the Rosie Cross.
Mm.
Tripping the 60s. I mean, that can't be too Christian, can it? Everyone's on clear light out there.
Well, who knows?
Well, yeah. I have a friend who claims that Jesus used to anoint people with cannabis oil.
Well, that could be true. I mean, yeah, let's not go into it, though. I mean, for God's sake, you're on the Naked City. Now, the reason why we've got you still here with us, Christian, and not the beautiful Gabriel, who's just stepped into the studio, is because of the Imperial Panda Festival. Now, it's a very disturbing title here. You could
you're
think...
You're part of it. What do you mean, disturbing
but
title?
You could... by just looking at that title, you could think, oh, my God, they've actually released the pandas, but they haven't at all. Can you tell us about this festival, Christian?
It appears to be a festival at Sydney's Chalk Horse Gallery take over from the spot left by the closing of Land Franchise. And features Alex with the Red Riders, Health Club, Unlovable, and a bunch of theatrical productions.
Right, and tomorrow I'm actually appearing emceeing the Erotic Fan Fiction. Please get me up to speed on what erotic fan fiction is, Christian.
Well, erotic fan fiction, or slash fiction, is one of the main pillars of the internet. In fact, we shall say it is the main pillar of the internet.
And this is basically, you can do all sorts of things here. You can do insertion, you can do removal, you can turn all your heroes into the sexiest things.
Well, it actually started in the 70s with the Star Trek fan community, where these moms who were watching Star Trek figured, hey, there's something going on with Kirk and Spock. Let's write some fan fiction. So you got what they called Kirk slash Spock fan fiction.
Clearly they
slash.
Should have been taking care of their households and their children.
Well, right. So it's pretty much evolved into... And basically people on the internet will put any two or three or five or eight characters together.
It's called an orgy.
Now, if to spare your sanity, I'll let you think that, hey, it's logical pairings like Kirk, Spock, Shatner and James Spader from Boston Legal. Honestly, on the web, someone is mashing up the Transformers with Kojak, with your favorite blaxploitation hero, and they're all having sex in a giant transforming van, which is actually a tentacle monster, and they're all being eaten. Also, they're all furries.
Christian, can I just ask you one thing? with erotic fan fiction, where do you draw the line between eroticism and just plain downright smut?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the very
Lady Chatley's lover, you'd never bring that up.
Most of the stuff is pretty badly written. The main site, fanfiction.net, you know, categorizes it various ways. Mm. I mean, keep in mind a lot of this stuff is being written by kids. I actually used to write someone searching Harry Potter fanfiction. Mm. Where
you used to write that, did you?
No, an X.
All right, you enacted it.
No. Now, would anything be taboo? I mean,
clearly not.
Coffin. Mm. Taboo. Internet? No. Nothing.
Mm. I mean, it's amazing what you could have done with the Philosopher's Stone or something like that.
We're going to hell.
The idea of hell. That actually ties into something called Rule 34, which is if it
exists. There's a rule?
There's several. Rule 34 is if it exists on the internet, it exists, there is porn of it on the internet. Mm. Now, Rule 34B is if it doesn't exist, it'll create it. So we'll look at your lineup, Jay, and we'll see, all right, Dolomite and the Loch Ness Monster. Well, there's probably porn of that on the web. But if there isn't, you'll mention it and someone will be like, there's no Dolomite porn? Damn.
Well, I think the interesting thing tomorrow is we're top heavy with a lot of FBI identities, and you know we're going to do the whole thing where Peaches has Shag and Shag has Peaches.
I call Rule 34 on Dappled City's Fly and Red Riders. I'm wondering what was going on in their last joint concert tour.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge, everyone. I call Rule 34 on that. There must be porn of it by the time the week is over.
And you know the beautiful thing of all the events.
Nobody better call of it of the Naked City. I'm telling you now, there'll two be
weeks,
trouble.
There's 2 weeks of the Imperial Panda Festival. We've already been getting it on for years, Miss Death, so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, but not include not.
Well,
you know.
Coffin Ed's been a spectator through all of us, so does that really matter? Anyway, there's 2 weeks of the Imperial Panda Festival, and we're the only event that's adults only.
I'm actually kind of puzzled, because by a medium that's mostly female, there's only one female writer on this. I should note that this sort of thing has gone mainstream with the Doctor Who spin-off Torchwood, which seems to have been written by slash fiction authors.
Right, okay.
It features a bunch of men and women who are all omnisexual, and the next series features a cameo from Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, when you think about it, the TARDIS, you know, time and relative dimensions in space, I mean, once you've got two people in that phone booth, baby, you've got some sort of sexual trust going on, haven't you?
Exactly. Mm.
Perhaps you should
give
the...
What if you had sex with your alternate universe duplicate?
Mm. Ooh, that could be like touching antimatter. It could be all over in one big bang.
Perhaps you should give the address of erotic fan fiction tomorrow at 5 p.m.
I don't think we should be promoting this sort of thing, if you
ask
me.
I'm emceeing it, mister.
I don't care. You're not going anywhere. You're staying home tomorrow.
What's even scarier is down the list, there's Wonka, a live cinema redux, and I'm sort of throwing Wonka in the mix with all this.
Yeah, well, that's a bit scary, really, isn't it? We could get rated by the Vice Club.
Where's it happening?
Where is it tomorrow?
It's
Christian
Chalkhorse Gallery.
Black and Blue Gallery, is it not?
Cooper, no.
Chalkhorse Gallery, 56 Cooper Street.
Surrey Hills, yeah. Just up the road here.
Yeah. So you're reading week two.
And that's at 5 o'clock.
And you've got
o'clock.
Your glasses on.
People, that's it. I don't think anybody should go, but if you're going to go, because they will go, because if sex is involved, people just flock. Mm. It's on at 5 o'clock on Sunday. That's tomorrow.
I'm going to be wearing a complete PVC Lycra outfit for it. So
I'll be at home working on my...
You'll be wearing a chastity belt. That's what you'll be wearing.
On my Heath Ledger death fic.
Is there anything good?
That thing!
Is there anything good?
Is there anything good at the movies?
Before we start
that's a
this
no.
segment,
not at the moment. I haven't seen anything.
Remember a couple of years ago I mentioned the guy that was, well, guys that were going around cinemas like... waiting till the film started and crawling around and stealing people's
under
the, bags.
Yes.
They caught one of the guys.
Well, there was one that was doing it at the Chevelle. Yeah. He was a serial one that kept going back there all the time.
You'd have to be very small, though, to be able to crawl.
I couldn't do that. I get very claustrophobic. Mm. I couldn't get into a tight place like underneath a cinema chair. I just
That's creepy,
out.
Though, isn't it?
And what's
you go in to
him?
Watch an art house film and
well, which who do they catch?
This some
at
guy.
The Chevelle or
no,
somewhere
down,
else?
Down in Hoyts or somewhere.
Oh, really?
Like
in Hoyts?
That.
That's outrageous, yeah. These people.
Apparently, there
should
are a couple
be flogged
of
within an inch of their lives.
Policemen crawling around in the cinema. Can you imagine it? You look down, there's just people crawling everywhere.
Night crawlers.
You want to watch the film.
So, you can't.
Like cockroaches.
Well, I never put my bag on the floor. I always put it either on my lap or if there's a seat next to me and I put my hand over it.
See, this is where I think...
Stranger danger, it's worse.
This is where I think all these trash magazines should be just burnt. Mm. And what we should be reading about is, you know, little whoever he was climbing around under the seats, and we should be reading about that, because then we'd say, well, what's really going on here? And maybe as a community we might support the community.
Well,
rather than
you could actually, right in the middle of a feature, you could do an intervention. You could actually stop the film, turn the lights on, and go, right. Hey, right. The jig is up.
That's a story.
We really understand you're going through hell
here. Shame them. That's what I say.
Integrated,
shame them.
Integrated shaming.
You know what I'd like to do? Get one of those really big old fashioned mouse traps. Put it in a bag under the seat and just wait. Yo!
Now, for every woman that's listening, you now know what to take to the movies in
that's
your handbag.
Right. Yes, yeah. Mouse traps.
All right, well, what is on at the cinemas, ladies?
Well, we haven't actually seen anything.
We've been
that's
busy
been
being grandmothers.
But what I did go and see, I got caught up in the hype to go and see No Country for Old Men, and I was thinking about it and just going along, you know, Christian's persuasion this morning of porn and sex. I really thought about this film, and I would liken it to either coitus interruptus or penile dysfunction.
Is that when
dysfunction.
They were playing deck coits on the Titanic, and someone came along and says, "Interrupts, you got to get off."
Yeah, coitus interruptus. Yeah, that sort of thing.
And what was the other one? Penile
dysfunction.
Yes. Why?
Well, this is a Coen Brothers movie, and it's based on Cormac McCarthy's novel of the same name, and it's one of those films. It's really particularly nice. It's kind of like
what's the name of the film again?
No Country for Old Men.
See, you've got problems with the name already.
The penile dysfunction took
over.
I'm
still sort of thinking about it.
God, they called this film penile dysfunction.
Well, just think about having intercourse all this time and effort goes.
Has it got to do? Is it about old men sort of losing the rock?
Well, it could be. It could be about anything really.
You didn't get it, did you?
No, I didn't get it at all. I thought all this effort and all this money.
And the
really
Coen brothers are usually interesting, aren't
they? But it's a bit like, you know, if you're watching it at any time, leave, because you'll never miss anything. It doesn't really matter.
Oh.
Like, it's a film that...
That's
it's all,
a bit upsetting.
It's all chase. The psychopath is the psychopath.
Yeah.
But there's all these holes in the plots, and the characters are so poorly constructed that they're really cardboard cutouts. And... The spoiler, which
you're
not
bagging a film.
I am. I thought I would.
She's bagging a film.
This film's been nominated for everything.
Well, there you go.
It'll be winning Academy Award.
Well, hey, listen. Excuse me. Rocky was nominated and won. I rest my case. Come on.
There's nothing really wrong with the acting and its beautiful cinema photography. It's set in Texas and it's a drug bust gone wrong, and then it's a chase. But it's all chase.
Sounds like every cliche in the book.
It is. And it's just like, and I was thinking about it, you know, it's like a really nice encounter. And after 96 minutes and it's not going to happen, you really just go and, you know, make yourself something to eat or watch television or go and get the popcorn.
You know, that must have been very disconcerting for you. One of the first films who were paid for in Yorks.
And it was a dud.
I was sitting there anticipating all this. I'd heard about it. And, you know, it's very
back
beautiful.
To the preview I'm cinema confused. With your lass. Back I'm to the confused. Preview cinema.
All right.
What are you confused?
I was going to say, where do the deck courts go?
I think you might as well go and get the deck courts.
Yeah, and have a game. And have a game.
Your money would be well spent.
And all right. Sit on them.
Anyway.
Yeah, well.
You're listening to The Naked City, brought to you each week by Hairigami, the ancient art of folding hair, and GLH Formula 9. It's the hair restorer in a spray can. Guests appearing on The Naked City receive a complimentary pack of Chia Pets and a genuine Ronco electric food dehydrator. When in Sydney, cast and crew of The Naked City are accommodated at the Mitchenbury down under Van and Camping Grounds and relax at Max and Maureen's Ermington Day Spa and Therapeutic Foot Massage. The Naked City is based on an original idea lifted from page 137 of the Esperanto edition of Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, and acknowledges the enormous contribution made to the Australian entertainment industry by Jerry G, Princess Panda, Darton Smokey Dawson, Jack Little, Ward Pally Austin, Jeff Yule Smith, and Joe the Gadget Man. We wish to emphasize that no small furry animals were harmed during the making of this program. Jack the Poodle, occasionally let loose in the studio, is fed entirely on reconstituted spam.
Listeners are encouraged not to wear lycra or spandex while tuned to FBI 94.5, although bike riders and fetishists are exempted. The Naked City recommends and wholeheartedly endorses Dr. Jerd's Jungle Juice, but only when drunk in moderation. Views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the Exclusive Order of Brethren, Piers Ackerman, Miranda Devine, The Little Pebble, Condoleezza Rice, or the executives of the estate of the late great James Brown. All guests appearing on The Naked City are subject to pre-programmed drug testing, and prescription medications must be declared prior to entering the studio. No apologies are forthcoming for occasional fits of dyslexia, dyspepsia, and uncontrolled giggling. The Naked City is broadcast live from the studios of FBI and streams simultaneously across the World Wide Web with regular listeners in Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and Stanmore. A recent survey has indicated that nobody listens in the Republic of Chad, Bolivia, or Pitcairn Island, but hey, you can't please everyone. Everybody. And remember, if somebody grabs you in the middle of the street and asks, hey, are you listening to The Naked City on FBI 94.5? Run, because they are probably trying to steal your radio.